नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 10 देवस्य मायया स्पृष्टा
देवस्य मायया स्पृष्टा
ये चान्यत् असत् आश्रिताः भ्राम्यते धीर्न तद्वाक्यै आत्मन्युक्तात्मगहरो Under no study evidences of the Vedas. Acharyas, including Sripad Shankaracharya, but when he was present, disappeared from the world. He was very able to establish that Lord Krishna was an ordinary man who was killed by. He destroys the whole world. He maintains, creates, and destroys the whole universes. And those who are great Acharyas, they accept this position of Krishna. But those who are atheistic, they are always making different. They are very envious of Krishna. It's a surprising fact that often it's not understood that even we see people who are supposed to be very saintly, they're supposed to be gurus and sadhus and spiritual teachers, but actually they're envious of Krishna. Even if they follow principles, they're brahmacharis or sannyasis, they're vegetarians, and they teach their followers also to be vegetarians. So we may think they're very good. But we have to see what is their philosophy, because if they're envious of Krishna, then even if they're vegetarians, that doesn't mean they're good. There are so many people who are vegetarians, but they're claiming themselves to be one with God, or as good as God, or they promote some bogus incarnation who's supposed to be a new incarnation of Krishna. These are all very envious statements. We hear these, someone is a new incarnation of God. To promote someone as an incarnation of God, if he's not, is very sinful. Even if they're vegetarian, they're more sinful than people who are not vegetarians, for making these sinful, envious theories. They're promoting some ordinary person as God. They want to drag Krishna down to their own pathetic, tiny level. But the devotees, they are not bewildered. The devotees, they may hear these different theories, but they are fixed in understanding the absolute truth through Shastra. That is why we have to hear again and again from Shastra. Why Prabhupada, he was working so hard to translate these books. Why did Vyasadeva take so much trouble to write all these books? Why did Shukadeva Goswami take so much trouble to study this? That question comes at the beginning of Bhagavatam. The sages of Naimisharanya, they asked Sukadeva Goswami that Shukadeva, he was a self-realized soul from his birth. He was already self-realized. So why did he take the trouble to study Srimad Bhagavatam? If he's already self-realized, and Srimad Bhagavatam is such a great book, big book, self-realized means he has nothing to do, he's already achieved perfection, then why did he take the trouble to study such a great book as the Srimad Bhagavatam? So what is the answer? Who knows? Famous verse. What's the verse? Famous verse. This verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborately explained to Sanatana Goswami. Iranta api arukrame. Karvantya aitakin bhutim itam bhuta gano hare. So, Sanatana Goswami explained that even someone who is satisfied in himself, or even someone who's a great saintly person, or Nigranta, even if he's beyond the rules and regulations of the scriptures, He is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, who performs wonderful activities, who has wonderful transcendental qualities. This the non-devotees cannot understand. Krishna has unlimited transcendental qualities. Ananta Kalyana Guna Vishishta. He is naturally endowed with all wonderful transcendental qualities. The non-devotees or the impersonalists, they want to say that God is nirguna, has no qualities. So this means, nirguna means that Krishna is not under the triguna, sattva, rajas and tamas. Krishna is beyond those modes of material nature. But he has all the wonderful transcendental qualities by which those who are transcendentalists, they are attracted. Even if someone is free from attraction to material life, if he's pure in heart, he will be attracted to Krishna. That is the actual sign of a spiritually advanced person, that he's attracted to Krishna. So all the great self-realized souls, they have explained what is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is simply an elaboration on the glories of Krishna. And all the self-realized souls, they elaborate on it. What are we talking about? Why have we come here? To elaborate on the science of Krishna. So Prabhupada, as a great Paramahamsa, as the Acharya of the whole world, on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he put so much endeavor into composing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam will give us light. Kali Yuga is very dark. Who knows that verse? Who can say? Bhagavatam will give us light. Now I'm testing you. Another verse from first canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna, first word. This Kali Yuga is very dark because Krishna, he has left this world at the end of Dwapara. He left this world, and Krishna is the embodiment of dharma and jnana, religious principles and transcendental knowledge. So it would seem that when Krishna left, that those dharma and jnana left with him. So just like that's stated here, and this is the Dura speaking. So he says that the son of Krishna, Krishna Dyomani, that's one word for Krishna meaning the sun, has set. The sun has set. So when the sun sets, there's darkness. But the light has come. Nashta Drusha. In Kali Yoga, people, they cannot see. There are two ways you cannot see. There may be two reasons for not being able to see. Who can think of those two reasons? That's correct. One reason is, if you don't have the eyes, if your eyes are covered by cataracts, if your eyes are not functioning. Another reason may be that the eyes are functioning, but there's no light. So Krishna, just like the sun, when the sun sets, there's no light. But the sun has again arisen. The sun of spiritual knowledge has arisen in this Kali Yuga in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Purana Arka. Arka means the sun. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is just like the sun, which gives light in the darkness of the ancient Kali. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Krishna in the form of the narration of his pastimes. Now this cannot be understood materially, but Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his associates, everything about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna in literary form. And Prabhupada commenting on this, he writes that one can get as much benefit from studying Srimad Bhagavatam as if Krishna were face to face before him. There's no difference. You can get all the same benefit because Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And Prabhupada writes that by studying this Bhagavatam, you can be firmly fixed in knowledge of Krishna. not only can you withstand the onslaughts of atheists who try to convince you that there is no God, or Krishna is not God, or there's some new God, some new incarnation of so many bogus things they will say. So not only will studying the Srimad Bhagavatam help us to be free from the onslaughts of atheistic propaganda, but those who are fixed in the knowledge of Bhagavatam can actually convert others to understanding of this knowledge of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada took so much trouble. Even when he was traveling all over the world, even when he had a big organization, he was very busy writing these books. Prabhupada said that my most important contribution to human society is these books, among which Srimad Bhagavatam is prime, most important. Because in this Srimad Bhagavatam, we have all knowledge to understand the science of Krishna. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. In Bhagavatam it is stated that this is scientific knowledge of God by which we can be liberated from material association. So how important it is to understand. If you study this Bhagavatam carefully, you'll never be bewildered by wrong ideas. Just like Prabhupada went all over the world at the age of 70, he started and he met so many people from all over the world, and there are so many different kinds of philosophies, and people would meet Prabhupada and they would give different ideas, and Prabhupada would always give the answer. Not by word jugglery or trickery, but exactly to the point. Prabhupada would always give the correct answer. He would find out what is the defect in someone else's argument and give the correct version. Why? Because he's fixed in understanding Krishna through the knowledge of Shastra. That is called Shastra Chakshu, seen through the eye of Shastra. This is the way a devotee sees. Everyone sees. Just like when you go on the street, you see cars, you see people, and you can see some people, they're dressed, you can understand they're local Arabs, and some people you can understand that they're Indian Muslims, and some people you can understand they're Westerners, and some people, maybe you don't get so many here in Dubai, there's many Russians, you can tell by the way they dress and everything. So we see, this is Russian, this is Arab, local Arab Muslim, this is a Mercedes-Benz car, this is a Toyota Corolla car. We see, there's so many sense perception. We see. We judge by what we see. That is one way of receiving knowledge. But another way we see the world is not only by our direct sense perceptions, but by the understanding with which we are trained to observe the world. What is our world view? What is our outlook on the world? In modern society, they're promoting a totally materialistic worldview, that you should see everything in the world as something that you should try to exploit and try to enjoy. Get ahead. Everything here is meant for your enjoyment. Earn some money and spend it for sense enjoyment. But a devotee sees not... You see, either you're seeing through Shastra Chakshu, you're either seeing through the eye of scripture, or you see through the eye of material, you see magazines, newspapers, TV, they all have a message to promote. You see, you won't find in the newspaper actually any philosophy, but it's there, hidden. By showing, like, just like some fashion show, or advertising, go on a holiday here and there, they're promoting the philosophy that life is meant for sense enjoyment. So actually there's philosophy in everything. But that philosophy will not help you. That will bind you in the material world. That will bewilder us. That simply leads to frustration. And you see in what is in the newspaper, simply, what is the news? Simply killing, fighting, corruption, because everyone is competing with everyone else for sense gratification. So a devotee doesn't see this world directly through the senses, seeing, touching, feeling, tasting, hearing. Nor, of course, he sees the same cars going on the street, he sees the same people in the same from the sensory point of view, in the same way that materialistic people do. But he sees through the eye of scripture. He sees every living being is a servant of Krishna. The purpose of life is to serve Krishna. Therefore, all this advertisement for sense enjoyment, it is all simply illusory. A devotee, he knows, I cannot be happy by serving my senses. I can only be happy by serving Krishna. This knowledge he gets from studying Bhagavatam, this makes him strong, spiritually strong. That's why we should daily study Srimad Bhagavatam, and then all the wrong ideas that will come. So many wrong ideas. But a devotee is fixed. He knows that if anyone has any idea outside of the Bhagavat philosophy that human life is meant for surrender to Krishna, he knows that must be incorrect. Just like we had some comment about moon trips, was it not?
Yes.
Why just go for a trip to London? Let's go to the moon. So Prabhupada, at that time, when was it first? 1968, they were supposed to have gone to the moon?
69.
So Prabhupada, he said, it's all bogus, they're not going to the moon. People were surprised. How can you say? Everyone saw it on television. You also saw Superman on television.
Spider-Man,
you know better than me. All these things. You saw so many things on television, so how do you know? Did you go to the moon? Why is Prabhupada saying they're not going to the moon? Because Shastra says the moon is further away than the sun, and you cannot go there unless you perform pious activities, because it's a heavenly planet. So, some people are surprised, but Prabhupada is seeing through the eyes of scripture. If scripture says you can't go to the moon, then you can't go to the moon. And even if the Americans say we've gone to the moon, why should we believe them? Now they're saying they're going back there again after 25 years. What happened in the last 25 years? Why are they not going? Why don't they go and find some oil up there and they can pipe it down here? What about... No, really? Actually, recently they found water here.
Yeah.
You're supposed to believe them. So, they say there's nothing there. How do they know there's nothing there? If you come and land in the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia, you'll think there's nothing there. You have to dig and you'll find oil. If you just come and say there's nothing there, how do you know? You have to do geological research. Why do they, on the moon, surely there must be gold, platinum, diamonds. Why do they say there's nothing there? If it is as they say, they should have gone back then. They've got the American technology, they can send all the gold back, and then they won't have to take the taxpayers' money to go to the moon. They can just use the gold and diamonds they dig up there. Why the silence? Why 25 years or that 25th anniversary of going to the moon? Nothing. It's hardly in the newspapers, because you'll find that more than 50% of people in America don't believe they went to the moon. Actually, although 99% in India do, because they're slavish followers of science. Indian people, they have the tendency to be very faithful. Before they used to be faithful to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, now they're faithful to science. And they think it's a great blasphemy. Just like in Islam, if you say anything bad about Islam or Muhammad, they'll immediately kill you. So in India also, you can say anything about Krishna and no one cares. But if you say anything about science, they become upset. Isn't it? In our Back to Godhead magazine, we're seeing all these protests. If there's any criticism of science, there's all these protests. From who? Only from Indians. because they think science is so wonderful. Fully brainwashed. Very well brainwashed. Science is so wonderful. But Prabhupada, he was firmly fixed in knowledge of Shastra. If Shastra says like this, you cannot go to them, then you cannot go. And if they say they've gone, they're bluffing. They're bluffing in so many ways. Bill Clinton was bluffing that he's a good moral person. That's a bluff. He told so many lies and then he was exposed. The Americans, they love it. They think this is great. He's the president of America. He's just like us. He's totally immoral and, you know, great, wonderful. He's the right person to be the head of our country because he's a good, average American. Has no moral standards whatsoever. Makes a bluff of being great, wonderful. So you see that in Kali Yuga, truthfulness is supposed to be the last leg of religion that's standing. But even that is compromised. But Prabhupada, Prabhupada never compromised. Even Prabhupada said, even if I don't get any followers, I don't care. Better have one proper follower than many cheap followers. This is the problem. You see, we're talking about people who are criticizing Krishna and promoting different ideas. They're envious of Krishna, therefore they want to compromise the Shastra. Just like someone was telling about, there's such some very nice Bhagavatam speaker comes to the Gulf and tells nice stories from the Bhagavatam. Why are they telling nice stories? Why don't you tell... See, there are so many things in Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam there are also so many very strong statements. Why don't you tell them also? But they just want to avoid these things. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, we don't avoid these things. We study all the Shastra. Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction. All these books we should read and study. Try to understand the philosophy Prabhupada has given. And there may be so many entertainers in the name of religion. They play a harmonium, sing a few songs, tell some nice stories, but you see, what is the philosophy? If you tell the actual philosophy, people, they may be afraid. They may run away. Even if you tell them what are our basic principles, you tell them no tea, and people will say, alright, no me, I'm going somewhere else. It's too much, fanatical. People are afraid. They like... See, basically people want some kind of religion. They think, well, God will bless me. But I don't want, you know, all these rules and, you know, let just God bless me. That's all right. And that's nice. But all the other things, I know, you know, we'll see about that later. God is very merciful. So I'll break all the rules and still God will bless me. That's what they're thinking. So if some guru comes and tells them, yes, You do whatever you like, just worship me, it's good enough. People like it, they want something cheap. There are so many cheaters in the name of religion. But the devotees are not bewildered, because they know what is Shastra. They know who is Krishna. I'm going to take some questions. I see that some of you have had a long, hard week. So some people are very tired. Thursday. So I just, if there's any questions, I'll take some questions. Then we can get a little excited with a little kirtan. Then you can all take rest nicely. Any questions, please?
I heard Prabhupada mention in the one of the cassette that God has no name. So how the Krishna name came? But the same time, Prabhupada has mentioned that the God the name came according to their God.
Well, that exactly, you've given the answer, which Prabhupada himself gave. Prabhupada himself gave the answer. When God has no name, whenever Prabhupada said this, he would always say, but he has so many names according to his qualities and practice. So that is the explanation. It means he has no material name. Just like in this material world, something has a name, just like this is called a chair. So that word, chair, has no intrinsic relationship with this object. It's simply an appellation. It means an upadhi, a designation which has been given to it. In another language, it can be called something. In Hindi, it's called kursi. But you can. What is it in Arabic? Does anyone know? Probably kursi, because it sounds like Urdu word. And actually, in pure Hindi, there's no such word because they didn't use such things. They sat on the floor. They would have asam, not like this. So the word, the sound, and the object is different. Similarly, in the material world, what's your name?
Vaishnava Krishna.
Yeah, now you're initiated. What was that name before that?
Shailesh.
So actually, that is a name for Lord Shiva, but that's not a name for you. That name's just been given. That name is not you. Any other name could have been given. So a material name is different from the object. So in that sense, Krishna has no name. In the material sense, Krishna has no name. You cannot name God in that way, just any name. It's not just like giving any name. But he has his own, he has names, means they are real names. And he has unlimited names, because he has unlimited forms, pastimes, devotees, names like Yashodanandana, Devakinandana. So he has unlimited names, but they're not material names, that's the point. Just like we say God has no qualities. That means he doesn't have any materially contaminated qualities, but he has unlimited transcendental qualities. So this is to be understood. Prabhupada, whenever he says this, Krishna has no name, immediately explains. But he has unlimited transcendental names. This is in reply to the Mayavadis who say, because they're envious of Krishna, they say God has no name, finished. They don't want to chant the name of Krishna. So Prabhupada agrees, yes, he has no name. You have to understand what that means. He has no material name. And when you chant Hare Krishna, you're not chanting a material name. It's not like calling up Bill Clinton. It's a completely different vibration. Any other question?
According to
Krishna was born in the Krishna Paksh, therefore he was given the name Krishna. Well, half the population of the world is born in Krishna Paksh, because there's either... Well, then why the rest of the population isn't also called Krishna? Only then the name became... I don't know, it may be, but... Actually, Krishna is his eternal name. The name Krishna has many meanings. The most important meaning is that he's all attractive. Krish. From this Krish Sanskrit dhatu, the word comes akarsha, attraction. So the most important meaning is Krishna is all attractive. Otherwise, there are many Krishnas. Veda Vyas is also called Krishna. Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Because he's black. So he's also called Krishna. There's also one kind of deer. It's called Krishna Mriga. It's also called Krishna. But that's not Krishna Parameshwar Bhagavan. It's another Krishna. Yeah, that's why we have to be careful hearing all these stories. You have to hear from the proper source. Even if that's a... I never heard such a thing. It doesn't sound very likely because, as I say, half the population of the world is born in Krishna Paksha. But even if it is true, it's not very important. What's important that Krishna is called Krishna because he's all attractive, that is his qualification as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's another thing about these... you know, there are certain kinds of Bhagavatam speakers, they like to give all little details, but the main point they miss. They'll tell you all these little stories and this, but what's the main point? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to him. And that they'll tell you all so many stories, this, that, but what's the point? The point is you have to surrender to Krishna, and that they won't tell. So you can get all kinds of, you can get your head filled up with all kinds of superfluous details. But the essence, what's the essence? That they don't give. Any other question?
Krishna talks in Bhagavad Gita about three yogas. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. What is the common man follow?
Common man should chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You can't follow, especially in the modern age, you can't follow this karma yoga, jnana yoga. You have to follow so many rules and regulations. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. It's not possible. If you want to be a strict karma yogi or jnana yogi, don't come to Bahrain. Because you have to live in a place where there's so many sinful activities. Don't live anywhere, because the whole world is full of all sinful activities. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, 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 Tiramita. In Kali Yoga, there's only chanting Hare Krishna. There is anything else won't help you. Karma Yoga, Karma Kanda, you have to follow so many rules. If you even drink this water, you become contaminated because it's coming from leeches and they've prepared it. It's not coming from a pure source. The water in most countries, the tap water is recycled sewage water. It means it's stool water. It's impure. How can you even touch it? You can't follow. It's not possible. You have to chant Hare Krishna. There's no other way. Common man should chant Hare Krishna. The uncommon man should chant. Everyone should chant. Now, one thing I wanted to announce is that probably most of you know that this Back to Godhead is now being distributed in India in English, Hindi, Marathi and Gujarati is coming soon on subscription basis. So many of you are subscribers to that, but if you are not, I would suggest that you are subscribing, and even if you are, you can take a subscription and send to your family members and friends in India. Then you'll get, every 2 months in different languages, you'll get that. Actually, especially those who are North Indian, you can send in Hindi, or Gujarati, whatever your local language is, to your family members, and they can benefit from this, by getting this. So if anyone would like to take a subscription, I'm secret agent for BTG. Thank you, God. it's different prices. It's like, what is it, 300 rupees a month for a year for a Hindi subscription. I don't know exactly. Like, what is it for English?
900 rupees.
That's for coming here. Yeah. It's sent here. 450 for India. Yeah. And if you take a 2-year subscription, it's cheaper like that. So in terms of Bahrain dinar, it's not so much. So I urge you to take this up. There's so many magazines in the world, but there's no magazine as important as Back to Godhead, or Bhagavad Darshan in Hindi. So please sign up. Now,
We have some tapes available.
Yeah, right. I brought some cassettes because I couldn't bring so many books. Usually I bring some books. So there's one set of cassettes of some of my lectures, mostly in English and a few in Hindi, which I think Pitamba will take in charge of them.
We'll take one set,
and then if anyone wants, they can get from him, and then some contribution will be there also for the Guru Bio project, as well. He's doing for them.
Yeah, we can sell here. Anybody wants, we can sell the cassette here. Many cassettes are there. If anybody wants, we can sell.
And just to sum it, actually I brought more books, but in Dubai I wanted to keep more for here, but without my knowing they just took them all and sold them. Anyway, I just have some books I left out, put in your library, as you have a library. Did you get this book? This is a book about how Prabhupada first went to South Africa and established
the
movement. Very nice book. It's about establishing Krishna consciousness in South Africa. Then a couple of my books, this is written by godfather of mine. Then a couple of my books, you may have this already in your library.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this, do you have this one in your library, Bengali thing?
He bought. Nita bought.
Alright, well, at least I have something to give you. I mean, we're called Tridangi Bhikshu, so I'm simply a beggar, but I should try and give you something. Some books or something. Well, these books and lectures, they're all meant to help towards them. So when I go in different places, I like to leave something. So I'm here today and gone tomorrow, but if some book or something is there, then you're all going. I see all the devotees here going on studying very nicely, very good, very good. Get time to study these books. Go through the whole Gita, Bhagavatam. Now you have all these Prabhupada lectures you can listen. It's very nice when you're driving, everyone has to drive around, it's modern life. So you get the Prabhupada lecture cassette, listen. Hearing is there, reading is there, taking prasad is there, that will come a little later. And chanting and dancing is there, I think that should come now.
Let's
do that. Very necessary.